some people go really crazy about that stuff and they're like, okay, we cut everything out and I'm still not getting pregnant. They're using different shampoo and all of these things, which is all well and good. But again, to a certain degree, if you're doing all of that, but you're still feeling stressed and you still have some limiting belief of why you're not getting pregnant or what's happening, you could be doing all of those things and that's still not going to get you to where you need to be.
Are you done with being that pregnant or postpartum mom in the gym who is always stuck on the sidelines feeling horrible, saying, how come no one ever told me this? Are you ready to finally say no to a mom life filled with excess weight, injury, overwhelm, and fatigue? Then help is here. Welcome to the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast, where we dive deep into the information you need to be the strongest woman in and out of the gym, even if you are a mom. If you are done going through your pregnancy or postpartum fitness journey clueless and unprepared, if you are ready to commit and say yes to being that badass fit mom who is shredded and stronger than before the baby, well, listen up. Because this is where we talk about all of the things your doctor or trainer never told you about, so that you can achieve the body you want and take your athletic strength and performance to the next level. Get ready, because here's your host, Daisy Bravo.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast. And if you have been keeping track and you're up to date with your episodes, you will know that today's episode is part two of interview with Elizabeth King, certified fertility health coach. If you have not listened to last week's episode, I would recommend you go back, listen to that one, and then jump on to this episode because it's going to just make a little bit more sense. I'm going to read Elizabeth's bio again. So let's jump in to part two of my interview with Elizabeth King.
Elizabeth King is a certified fertility health coach, a master certified RACF life coach, birth and bereavement doula. Her mission is to help people of all backgrounds conceive a healthy baby and carry them to term. After having three children of her own after the age 40, Elizabeth believes she has helped hundreds of women achieve their dreams of conception and parenthood in over 20 countries around the world. She supports clients through natural fertility, IVF, miscarriages, early pregnancy, post-traumatic stress disorder, and new parent support. So it is my pleasure to bring Elizabeth on today to set the record straight with all those myths out there and to squash those myths and give us some truth and some reality that pregnancy after 35 is definitely something that is doable. It's nothing to be afraid of. And all you need is a little love and support. So I am really excited to bring Elizabeth on the show today. Now, you mentioned that environmental factors and perhaps some of the chemicals in our environment and play a negative role on our fertility. Can you elaborate more on what we should be looking out for, what we should be cutting out, our lifestyle, our home life?
Yeah. So the hormone disruptors, big ones are like plastics in your house, drinking out of metal containers versus plastic or glass even. Some of the foods, making sure that you're eating organic so that you don't have other additional hormones coming into your body. Those sorts of things, cleaning products, etc. So on a whole, why we want to cut those out is so that they don't disrupt your estrogen progesterone production. Now, some people go the opposite end of getting really crazy about all that stuff. And they're like, okay, we cut everything out and I'm still not getting pregnant. They're using some sort of different shampoo and all of these things, which is all well and good. But again, to a certain degree, if you're doing all of that, but you're still feeling stressed and you still have some limiting belief of why you're not getting pregnant or what's happening, you could be doing all of those things and that's still not going to get you to where you need to be. So those, I feel like, is a small piece of the bigger puzzle. Is it good to do that? Absolutely. I always say, yeah, of course, change all your Tupperware to metal, glass dishes and things like that. But at the same time, I would rather you be more conscious of your stress and working on that aspect than working on the hormone disruptors, because that, I think, is a really easy thing to do. The harder thing to overcome is the stress that we take.
I'm loving your answers. And one thing I was told, that you can't go for a bike ride, you can't go snowboarding, you should stop running, and you should just do yoga or some qigong. Mm-hmm. And that's your problem. At one point do we go by some of these stricter recommendations that you hear? And at what time do you say, well, is this is bringing the joy versus maybe this is putting a roadblock in my fertility? Do you see a lot of that in some of the women that you work?
100%. So I get a lot of people who have spent tens of thousands of dollars with coaches or fertility diet coaches to say they're on these really strict diets and it didn't work. And so I end up seeing them and then they get pregnant. Part of that is because we analyze everything specific to your life. Like you just said, you wake up for that in the morning. So is it going to cause you more stress to not be working out? Probably that's going to feel very foreign for you. And unless you have a medical diagnosis that is saying to you that that's causing you this, or your cycles are off because your body fat is too low or something like that, there's really no evidence to say that these are the reasons that somebody isn't getting pregnant because they're doing X, Y, and Z. So again, I will look at your specific blood work to say, is there anything that shows on your day two or day three blood panel that would be a red flag to say this is what's potentially causing some issue. If everything's fine, then you just said you're doing all these pretty intense workouts. That's what you've been doing for a long period of time. So it's not a shift in your body. How's your cycle? Has it been normal the whole time? Has it changed throughout all these years that you've been doing that? How long were you on birth control? What happened when you got off? There's a lot of different factors, but with the working out as well as the eating, we tailor that specific to each person. So you can Google online or take these very expensive courses on fertility diets or whatnot. That's not really an equal fit for everybody, because if they come to the table with a history of weight issues or body image issues or something like that, going through a fertility diet that's pretty strict could trigger a lot of stress. So we tailor that to say, what are the non-negotiables here that you would need to have versus what is going to be causing you more stress if you take away, right? If you're going to be living on this super strict regimen and you're not working out and you love working out, or you're not doing this and you love doing that, and there's nothing that your doctor has said that is the case, we look at that because that makes a difference. I've had so many people where they're like, I haven't been on dairy, gluten, or anything for alcohol for so long. And then as soon as I'm like, yes, you can have the pizza. Yes, you can have the cake. That is not what's keeping you from getting pregnant. They get pregnant. And that's not because of any other reason that they were able to let go. Like they're holding on so tight to all of these things that as soon as they let go to something, that works for them because they may have had a history with something else. So it comes back to the balance of figuring out for each person, what's going to feel good for you and your body, and honoring what your body is going through and recognizing that the stress that any little thing that you do, how does that play a role in your life? So again, for you, working out is different for the next person sitting next to you, right? It's not their ride or die. So if we tell them not to work out, they're fine with that. So it's finding that balance of what it is. Same thing with food. Like we do the food sensitivity panels to make sure anything that you are eating is not causing you any sort of inflammation in your body. Because as soon as that's happening, your visceral system is working so hard to recover from that inflammation that's constantly being fed to you that it doesn't have the energy to create a baby. And everything is happening in that same area. And to some degree, for people who may not be used to working out so hard, when they do start to work out or they say, I want to do this, we do watch how much they work out because your body has to recover from that. So if your body is taking energy out to recover the muscles every day or three times a week or whatever, that energy literally coming from your muscles to go to recovery is taken away from your body of what it needs to be doing in other places. Does that make sense?
Definitely. Absolutely. I'm with you 100% on that one. I love that. And of course, food and nutrition, that's a huge kind of can of worms. We all have our habits. We all have foods that we thrive on, or some people just have issues with food that goes a little bit deeper than we can talk about on today's show. But I think we're all probably in agreement that our food is lacking in a lot of nutrients and vitamins. And it's hard to get in all those vitamins and nutrients that are recommended to help support support and help produce great eggs. Now, do you have some basic vitamins or supplements that you across the board recommend for every woman who is trying to get pregnant? And then do you have a few extra supplements that are helpful for certain women struggling with certain things?
I do. And you can find the list on my website, elizabethking.com. There's a freebie there that talks about supplements and what you should take generalizing. However, I often will say too, we would want to look at your blood work to see what is it that's showing up. Anything there that we would know, is your testosterone normal? Is it high or low? Because you don't want to put something in there that could be causing it to go another direction. But generally speaking, it's vitamin C, zinc, CoQ10. If you're trying to conceive naturally or you're going into an IVF cycle, that helps with your egg quality production. What else do we have? Chlorella and spirulina. Again, it's basically like a detox for your cells. So I know for a lot of people, it feels like there's so much that you take when you're trying to conceive on top of your prenatal. And the reason that you do take additional supplements on top of the prenatal is usually I haven't ever seen one prenatal that kind of covers everything enough. So you wanted to make sure that those quantities are exactly what you need to be taking. But it helps because regardless of whether you're trying, so I still take all of those except for the CoQ10 because I'm not trying to get my egg quality there. But all of those help with your cell growth in general. The cell growth goes back to your egg health, right? Especially right now with other things going on in the world, just the vitamin C and zinc and those things also help protect you. But the two main things that I would tell people to make sure that they're checking if they're trying to conceive is to do a full thyroid panel and to check your vitamin D. And those will be really good indications because if you're not within a certain range on your thyroid and on your vitamin D, your body's not able to conceive and or carry that baby in a healthy way. So those are like my top two you need to check with your doctor to make sure those are in line before you go forward.
Very cool. I like that. That's probably a huge can of worms for you and your coaching there. I know myself deal with a lot of inflammation. Is that where mainly the fish oils come into play, or do you have other recommendations for inflammation, especially dietary inflammation?
The biggest thing for that is really just avoiding, figuring out what those are and avoiding them. So for me, it was eggs, egg whites and egg yolks. Once I got those out of my system, I felt better. I knew that inflammation was gone. You can do, some doctors will do inflammation marker tests for you to know like what your inflammation level is. But yes, the fish oil is helpful. That's also helpful for, again, conceiving because it makes your egg more pliable so that the sperm can get in a little easier. But fish oil isn't good for everyone. So for me, for example, even any type of fish oil causes my body inflammation. So I had to avoid that. There's different types of things that you can do to counteract that. But again, going back to realizing what is my body sensitive to and how do I bring down that inflammation is going to be key. And most importantly, it's just avoiding that as much as you possibly can.
Well, I love that. And I like that it's not one size fits all. It's all about learning more about your body. And I feel like people tend to ignore their own signs and signals that their bodies relate to them. And we're so used to following a diet book and following a protocol and forgetting that we're an individual person, which is, I feel, all-encompassing of the holistic approach as opposed to what I've seen sometimes within doctor's offices, and they try to put all women in a box. So I appreciate that. Now, I wanted to go a little further because it triggered another question. When you go into these clinics, I can understand that it can be a little overwhelming. There's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of new terms and acronyms. How do you coach and help women get through these first initial appointments and empower them into these appointments so that they can walk in and figure out the right doctor for them? Are there some questions that are important to go in to these first initial appointments and ask? How do you flip-flop that around so that you're the one that's making the decisions and saying yes and no and taking control of the situation? How do you go into those appointments and help women to do that?
Yeah. So pre-COVID, I actually used to physically go to appointments with clients to be there to intercept those questions and help them through that. Now we do it all virtual, of course, but part of that is knowing that you're going in as educated educated as possible, whether that's having your coach with you or having your set of questions ready to go so that you feel like, again, you are interviewing them rather than them telling you the situation. The benefit, I will say, of social media and all these aspects that we have to learn now is most people are very educated on what it is that they're getting into and what that means and all the acronyms. I actually have a freebie on that on my website as well, that because it is pretty crazy of what all the things mean. But understanding that it may seem to some degree that they're pushing the IVF route and the reason for that. So a lot of clinics also, whether they say it or not, they may specialize in mini IVF or egg donor conception or whatever it may be, so that they have good success rates. So me going in now, let's say as a 44-year-old person, they know their success is pretty going to be, it's not very likely if they just take me on as a client and they're going to try to see if I get pregnant one way or the other. Their best chance for me would be to do a donor IVF cycle so that they're not using my 44-year-old eggs and they're making that happen in the dish and then putting it back in. That's going to make them successful and me to get a baby if that's really what I want. If I'm not open to egg donation and I want to say, I want to do this with my own eggs and try this myself, I'm less likely to conceive. They're less likely to have a successful patient. And therefore, they're going to have a different conversation with me if I say, this is what I want. So being prepared to self-advocate as to what it is for you that's important. Like for me with donor eggs, I didn't feel that I needed to do that for me. Do I believe in donor eggs? 100%. I think it's an amazing option that people can have. It literally blows my mind. That's an option. But I didn't think that's what I needed. And so for a doctor to sit there and say that he would only take me on if I did go that route, of course, didn't feel good to me. That's not where I want to be. And so being really set on how you feel going into it and with the questions already prepared and knowing this is the direction that I want to go on. This is my kind of vague plan that I came up with my spouse or my coach or whatever, and see if they're willing to be on your team. This is a journey, right? Like we both want to be successful. We both want to be on the same team. So if I go in and I'm constantly feeling like you're not hearing me or they're suggesting something that I'm not comfortable with, or I came to the table suggesting one thing or that medication didn't feel good to me and they're not willing to change, or they're doing the same protocol over and over and it's not working. But you want somebody who's going to say, how do we pivot this? What feels good to you? And really have it as a conversation that's mutual versus them just talking to you like the headmaster at school, so to speak, right? That whatever they say goes. And that times have changed now. And most of the younger generation of doctors realize that, and they are open to an open conversation about things like that. So I would just keep that in mind when you're interviewing doctors. I always say to at least do 2 to 3 appointment consultations with different doctors. Maybe one that does specialize and mini IVF, one that maybe you heard of somebody that went to, and then somebody else that has good reviews or what, however you come to find them, but you get a different perspective and they have a different perspective for everybody, right? So it helps you go into your final decision, doctor, to say, when I spoke to doctor, they mentioned this, would you be open to doing that? And they could say yes or no. And you know how to play how you're going to go along with that particular doctor.
Yes. Brings you back to dating days. Jeez, everyone needs a coach. That man is crazy. So unbelievable. They want to keep their success numbers up. And oh my gosh, so good to
have. And granted, of course, you want this success too, but you want it to be within the parameters that you're comfortable with instead of just saying IVF's your only option. What if I want to do IUI? That's what I wanted. I personally wanted to do an IUI cycle before I went down IVF. And my doctor that I had been with for a long time didn't do IUI. He didn't believe that would work for me. He's like, I can put the sperm up there, but I can't guarantee it's going to meet the egg. So for him to have success, he wasn't willing to do that for me because he wanted to make sure it was in his control of the egg is in the dish, the sperm is in the dish. I know I can do this and then we'll do that. So I went somewhere else, but you find what you're comfortable with. And yes, to your point of everybody needing a coach, I actually have a course right now, Fertility Coach Academy, because fertility infertility rates, I'm sorry, are on the rise. We're, I think, in the sixth year now of the numbers going up. And 1 in 8 people suffer from infertility. And unfortunately, again, that number is going up. That's just in the US. And in Canada, it's already 1 in 6. And so the more coaches we can get out there, the better to educate and help these women along their process. I'm helping people get out there so that they feel more supported and they can get to their positive pregnancy test sooner, because the more information you have and somebody holding you and guiding you along that way, you don't have to spend as much time wondering, okay, what do I do next? Am I going to Google this? For me, when I was going through it, I didn't have time to be Googling things, looking on Pinterest or whatever. So I needed somebody to say, this is what you do. And I didn't have that now. There's so many fertility coaches. So please find somebody that resonates with you and you feel comfortable with. And if you feel inclined to help somebody else through their fertility process, join my masterclass coming up and or look into other certifications. I'm not biased to my own. I just want more people out there in whatever feels good for you. So check it out and join us if you can.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Thank you for pointing that. I think each and every woman that is struggling with infertility should have a coach or someone on their side, be it a friend or someone that's been through it, because I'm sure it's difficult. It's a lot of pressure, and that sometimes you lose the forest for the trees in this whole journey. Everyone's fertility journey looks different, and it's so easy to get into this funk of feeling helpless, maybe feel a little jealous towards some of your friends that maybe had an easier time, or maybe it's just hard to find people that you can relate to. What coaching advice do you help women who feel isolated, feel like no one can relate to them? How do you get women out of this?
Yeah, that's the number one word that I hear when they come to me, is they feel alone and isolated. They feel like they have their family around them, their friends around them, but no one quite gets what they're going through. So it becomes difficult to talk to family and friends sometimes, because in their mind, it's just do this or just do that. And clearly, it's not just about this or that. So finding the support from somebody who really you feel connected with and that can help you through that is going to get you so far. Again, whether people believe in therapy or not, or finding that friend who has gone through it, finding somebody who's on the other side of it that understands the terminology, what you're going through, the science behind things, so that they have an educated conversation with you. Because it's not just about how are you feeling today, I'm feeling down and whatnot. Because along the way, as you mentioned, you will have triggers. People are going to have birth announcements. We're coming up to the holidays when you get those Christmas cards with all the families on it. Like, it hurts. And you feel like, why isn't this happening for me right now? So figuring out when you start to have those triggers, how we spoke of earlier, we want to retrain your brain. Okay, I'm being triggered. I know this is happening right now because Susie Q did her pregnancy announcement or birth announcement or whatever. And so I'm going to take my brain here. I'm going to journal. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to work out. I'm going to cook something. I'm going to do Play-Doh or whatever it is that's going to shift your brain. And it's Pavlova's dog. It's literally training your brain to go somewhere else. So as soon as you feel that you're triggered by something, you're going to do something else. And having that plan of, it's okay that Susie Q is pregnant because I have a plan. If this doesn't happen naturally in 2 more months, we know we're doing XYZ. Or I have my appointment with doctor on September 1st. So you have your steps along the way. So you don't feel like you're just hanging there in the lurk when other triggers are coming up.
That's amazing. I think everyone needs that support system to help get them through. As we know, there's pressure on us, on women, but we always seem to let the males slip past without doing any work. I wanted to chat just a little bit about male fertility and the time, the effort, all these invasive treatments, they're all the responsibility of the women. What are things that men can do to help with fertility and help to support their women in this term?
Yes. So male factor infertility is also on a rise hugely for a lot of the same factors, right? The stress that they go through on a day-to-day basis, the hormonal disruptors as well, having cell phones in their pockets, hot tubs, bike riding, all of those things. We now know that they can cause issues practice with male fertility. So knowing that your spouse, your guy, assuming that your spouse is a guy, is that you are watching all of those things. So teeing yourself up for success is basically what I'm saying. So we want to make sure all of those things that you are aware of and that we know causes some issues, you eliminate, right? So if you are a long distance bike rider, make sure you're getting off your bike and taking breaks and watching that. If you're going in the hot tub, make sure it's not for a long period of time and only doing it very infrequently. And this is especially if you're literally in the moments of trying to conceive, making sure that they understand how the process works. I do a lot of education around this with couples. It causes a lot of conflict with couples. They feel like they need to perform on the certain window. And if they don't, they feel the pressure. So a lot of men end up starting to have issues because it's stressful for them too, because they just want to make us happy and make it work for us. But in turn, they're taking on a lot of that pressure. So helping them understand, okay, this is how ovulation works. As soon as I get that positive test, this is how long my egg is viable for. This is how long sperm lasts in the genital tract. So really educating them so they're like, oh, okay, this is why there's that urgency and this is how the process works. Again, most men are very black and white. So helping them to understand that process is really helpful instead of just saying, okay, we need to have sex now. We need to have sex now. It's that time of the month. That starts to feel like you're just commanding them, telling them what to do. And that's the last thing most men want to be hearing. So working through those aspects as a couple is super important because it can really break down a relationship in a lot of ways. So I work with couples all the time about trying to figure that out, as well as if you have been going a long time, and again, it depends on your age, 6 months to a year, and you're not conceiving and you feel like you've done everything right as the woman, I would recommend going, having your guy go to a reproductive urologist to have a sperm checked, just to be sure. I've had it happen a handful of times where it turns out it wasn't her issue at all, and it was his issue. And then you're able to know, okay, we know what we're dealing with on both sides, and we're good. If you can do that before the 6 months, that's even better, because now that we do know that men are having more issues, it's better, earlier is better to get everybody checked out, you know, where you're starting from. And there's supplements as well that can help with the men. A lot of them are the same for the women. So it's nothing extraordinary on that route. Their stress levels is the same thing. Stress definitely affects the sperm. And whether that's the quantity or their shape and mobility, all of those things matter. And we now also know that with the miscarriage losses, we always used to just chalk it up to the woman and the egg quality and whatever. We now know that very well could be a sperm that wasn't a good quality. So that sperm that wasn't a good quality could have potentially made that embryo not what it was meant to be. So we have been able to let off some of that pressure of thinking that it's all on the woman as far as the egg and the losses and whatnot, because it can't, we don't know at that point. But if your guy is a smoker or a drinker, and any type of smoking is going to affect your sperm quality. So I know recreational drugs are legal in a lot of states, but just the contraction of those veins and all of that stuff affects the sperm quality. So if you're in a position where you're getting ready to try that month, I would ask them to try to lay off of those things, alcohol, if they're a heavy drinker, if you're a casual drinker, not as much, but all of those things will affect the sperm quality as well. So just being aware that it's not a one-sided thing anymore. It's not just the female doing their fertility diet and doing all these things. The spouse needs to be on the same page and watching those inflammations as well. If they have inflammation in their body, that's going to affect the way that their cell quality comes out as well. So I'm glad that you brought that up because it's very near and dear to my heart. And I talk often about that because it is such an important message to get out, because we don't want to carry that all on our own.
Sure. Yeah. And it's good to change the narrative of it being just a one-sided scenario and let our men off the hook way too. So Elizabeth, I want to thank you for coming on, being so candid, being so honest, sharing so much information. I think anyone that has listened to this episode and is struggling with fertility, they know now that the next thing that they need to do is find a fertility coach. So I want to to give you the opportunity to plug where people can find you online and learn how to work with you.
Yeah, thank you. So on my website at elizabethking.com, you'll find information there, access to book that free discovery call. As I mentioned earlier, we can do deep dives where it's just one single session where we really just do a 90-minute call to figure out where your blood work's at, your supplements, nutrition, all the things that are lined up for you, as well as work through some of that decision making of what your next steps are. I also do packages of 3 and 6, which is probably my most popular, given the fact that the mental health, as I mentioned earlier, is so important on this journey. So if we communicate through Voxer throughout that, just so anybody's aware. So the fertility is not something that you talk, okay, on Tuesday and then the next Tuesday, right? You have ups and downs. Are you ovulating that time and it's not working and you have questions, or you had your negative test and you're super down. So how do we get you back up? So there's a lot of things that go into that back and forth. Again, it's like having a personal trainer. You have access to me through those packages to work through what's happening, or you're triggered by a birth announcement or a pregnancy announcement or whatever. So it's ongoing, as well as some group coaching that we do a couple times a year. And as I mentioned earlier, the Fertility Coach Academy, and coach other coaches to help support and serve women.
Awesome. So I'm going to post everything on my show notes. So if you've already forgotten her website and her Instagram, I'm going to have it linked all in the show notes. Elizabeth, I can't thank you enough for joining me today on the podcast. And I hope you have a great day.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Such a good interview with Elizabeth. I've learned so much, and I hope that this information is helpful for anyone listening that has been struggling with fertility. Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you don't know what to do next. You don't feel supported. Maybe this journey feels one-sided. This is where a coach comes into play. Elizabeth, been through it before. She's a wealth of knowledge and just knows every avenue that's possible out there. Sometimes it takes learning what you don't want to figure out your path or your journey that you're comfortable with taking and trying. Thanks so much for joining me today on this episode of Strong Moms Fitness Podcast. I look forward to having another amazing interview next week. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you next time on the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast. Now remember, go subscribe so that you are the first to know as soon as new episodes drop. Also, be sure you don't miss out on your chance to win a free program of your choice from Strong Moms Fitness. All you have to do is leave a 5-star review, screenshot it before you submit, and send it to daisy@strongmomsfitness.com. Your review helps other people find our show. And as a thank you, once a month, we choose the review that makes us all warm and tingly inside and award that lucky lady a free program of their choice. So do it now. It could be you. See you next time, you badass mom, you.